Okay, well, praise God. Today, I don't know who this word is for, but I know it's for somebody because the Lord wouldn't have allowed me to go to it. I did not have anything till this morning. And I trust God, he'll give me whatever he wants me to say in his timing. It just depends on how he want me to do it. But this is what he gave me this morning. And my title is Repent and Forgiveness. And on the side I wrote guilt. Guilt. You know, one of the things that happened to me when I got sick 2 weeks ago was when God made it so plain to me that I needed to rest. And when I took the point of actually resting, and I took a Wednesday and I said, this is my day of rest. I'm going to rest on this day. I'm not going to do anything. I'm so busy doing something that when I'm not doing anything, the enemy shoots a dart of guilt. And so because I knew that what God had told me, he said it would cost me if I don't do it. And I ain't paying no debt that I ain't got to pay. So if this is going to cost me, then I'm going to do what he say do. Amen. And as I was resting, the enemy would throw the dart of guilt. And I said, I sure am going to go sit down now. And so I wouldn't do anything. I rested that day. And it was good. It was good for me. And so now I can do this. It can work. I can do this, you know. So with that, not only can the enemy throw the dart of guilt just with something, it seems to be something simple, but it's not always something simple. It can be something that we have done in our past. It could be something that somebody done to us. It could be anything, but it's got some guilt behind it. But if you don't recognize that the enemy is throwing the fiery dart of guilt, then you will still continue to be plagued with whatever it is that the enemy keeps bringing up. So Romans 4:6-8 says, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Now, I have done some things. I've not only have people done things against me, but I've done some things. Again, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome. That's my son. My son is affected by that. And it's because of me drinking alcohol when I was pregnant with him. And so it affects him. And you know, if I sit back, and me and my son was in a discussion not too long ago, and he said, you ruined my life. I said, boy, you better get off of that. No, you can't come at me with that one. Yeah. I haven't ruined your life, because God has stepped in on this. And so your life is better than if God wasn't in it. Amen. You know, so you know, he tried to tell me I ruined his life. I'm like, no. But if the enemy had his way, he could have put guilt on me. You know? And he could have bogged me down with that guilt and shame and disgust. But no. Because when I repent of a thing, I am forgiven. And that's all it is to it. And you know, the grace of God, when God allowed me to experience how it feels when he says you're forgiven, is when he allowed me to talk to my perpetrator and he gave me the grace to be able to talk to my perpetrator without telling him and badgering him for what he had done against me. Without doing any of that. And then at the end, for my perpetrator to come back and say, forgive me for what I've done to you. I know how it feels when God says you're forgiven. I kid you not, I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And when God says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. That thing is wiped out. And you have to believe that for yourself. You've got to take that in. You have been forgiven of anything that the enemy would try to bring back up at you. You are forgiven. Remember the breastplate of righteousness.
Yeah.
Because Jesus died on the cross for you, the breastplate of righteousness, that's for you. You are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's because you are in him.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't because you doing anything. It's because you are in him.
Yeah.
And so when you repent of a thing, it is forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Lord's going to bring something back up. And the Lord will do that. The Lord, because he wants to clean some stuff up that may be resonating in your heart that may have been there for a long time. Very long time ago, but he's gonna bring it back up. It may be a name, it may be a picture of somebody, it may be something, it may be something you did that you remember. Oh, I did that, whatever it is. Repent of it and know that you are forgiven, and the enemy cannot bring that back up with guilt. Amen.
Amen.
My notes say what we can do to get rid of guilt. It says King David was guilty of terrible sins. He was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of lying, and yet he experienced the joy of forgiveness. I'm telling you, I know what it feels like. We too can have this joy when we quit denying our guilt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you gotta acknowledge, oh God, I got guilt right here. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge it, what it is, the guilt. Then give it to God. Amen?
Amen.
And recognize that we have sinned. Two, admit our guilt to God and ask for his forgiveness. And then three, let go of our guilt and believe that God has forgiven us. This can be difficult when a sin has taken root and grown over many years. And this is true. This is true. Y'all, I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody. And God's going to clean house today.
Amen.
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 And so we don't have to worry about the enemy keep on plaguing us with guilt and shame and condemnation and all of that stuff. Because the devil's a lie and the truth ain't in him.
Amen.
Now, just not two weeks ago, the topic that I was teaching on the radio, I'm not ready for company yet. And I talked about that. At this particular time, my father had come over and he knocks on the door, but my house was jacked up. The kitchen was filthy. The sink, the stove, the floor was all stained up, had stuff just piled up everywhere. Even had a little stench going on. There was some eggshells and stuff like that. The kitchen was filthy. And my daddy knocked on the door. Clothes all in the living room just sprawled all out. And I'm like, I'm so ashamed to open the door because I don't want him to see that I ain't got it all together again. You know, all together. Now understand, outside looks real good. The yard is well manicured. The bushes is all pretty. The trim on the house looking good. Everything's looking good on the outside. But when you get ready to come inside, it's all jacked up. But I didn't want to let my daddy in the house. Now, my real daddy, when he would walk into something like that, because I've had some messy stuff now. I ain't going to tell you I haven't. But when my real daddy would come in, I remember one time he got in my car. Girl, I don't know if I'm getting this car because I don't know what's going to come up and bite me. That's the way my daddy would talk, you know. And so in this vision, daddy comes to the door and he comes and I let him in because I dare not leave my daddy outside. That's my daddy. So I let my daddy in And when I let him in, he never paid attention to the mess that was all around me. But what he did do is have, he had an apple in his hand. And when he had that apple in his hand, the apple was, I don't know, supernaturally, it was split, but then he pointed at the middle of the apple, the eye of the apple. And I knew what that meant. He was saying to me that I am the apple of his eye. That means I'm very dear to him. I'm very precious. It's like Deborah Matters, all this junk, all this mess, all this filth that's going on right here. You are the apple of my eye. It's about me and you. It's not about all this junk, but if you let me in, I'll come in and clean it up with you. I'll help you clean this house if you let me in. And that can be issues. It can be all kind of issues. Well, this here is an issue that's going on in the kitchen, and we're cleaning the kitchen. And God is working on cleaning the house. And this is his daughters, his sons. It's little stuff that the enemy has been plaguing us with that God says no more. Because he wants us to walk in wholeness.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Oh, yeah.
And he says no more. There can be difficulty when a sin has been rooted and grown over many years.
Yes.
When it is very serious or when it is involving others. Mm-hmm. We must remember that Jesus is willing and able to forgive every sin. In view of the tremendous price he paid on the cross. Y'all, he did it. He did it. He did it. He paid the price. He said it is finished. It's done. It's done. It's done. We just need to receive the reality of it. We need to perceive what he has done. It's done. He's paid it. And just for anybody that he crosses, it's a privilege for him to bring people across our path. That's a blessing to bring those people across your path. You find out somebody, this person got cancer. That person got cancer. These are privileges because he said, I want to bless you. And how is he going to bless you? He's going to use you.
Amen.
He said, I want to bless you, Tanya. And I'm sitting there, I remember he used to say, tell me, Deborah, I'm going to bless you today. I said, "Woo! You going to bless me, God? What you going to do? Yeah, I had it flipped wrong. He said, I'm going to use you. Oh, is that it? No. But I started getting excited because I was looking for stuff at first. But it ain't about stuff. It's about being used by God. So he said, I'm going to bless you today. You are. Now I'll be like, who is it? Who you finna send me across their path? Who is it, Lord? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on and popping now.
Yes.
You know. And then the thing about it is sometimes God will bless you, but he won't tell you until afterwards. Because he don't want you to mess it up. Because you'll be contemplating, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he's like, I don't want all your flesh in it. All I want you to do is be genuine. Be you. And that's how I use this you. Be you. Be genuine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In view of the tremendous price he paid on the cross, Jesus Christ, it is arrogant to think that any of our sins are too great for him to cover. Even though our faith is weak, our conscience is sensitive, and our memory haunts us, God's word declares that sin confessed or sin forgiven. In 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, when the enemy, when he tried to hit me with a dart of guilt about resting, and all I did is just, this ain't from God.
Yeah.
All you have to do, you know, what's so funny? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I remember the Lord showed me a vision one day, and God had did so much. And I was just walking through this structure, this building. He did it. Oh, he did it. Look at him. Oh, Daddy, I'm going to do this. And that's what it's for. And then after I had taken in everything that he had did, everything that Jesus did, after I took it all in, then I went and got in my recliner. And I sat back and I chilled. And then the enemy comes to me to try to get me to abort that rest that God had given me. Mm-hmm. All we got to say is no.
Yeah.
No. I will rest in the Lord. Amen. I will receive what God has said about me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Confession is supposed to free us to enjoy fellowship with Christ. Mm-hmm. It should ease our conscience and lighten our cares. Mm-hmm. But some Christians do not understand how it works. They feel so guilty that they confess the same sin over and over, and then they wonder if they might have forgotten something. You see how the enemy would torment a person?
Uh-huh.
Now, this is for somebody, but also you may cross the path of someone that God's going to use you to minister to, and they're in this place. And you'll be able to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to water that garden.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Other Christians believe that God forgives them when they confess, but if they die without unconfessed sin, they will be forever lost. These Christians do not understand that God wants to forgive. That God wants to forgive us. He allowed His beloved Son to die just so that he could offer us pardon. Y'all worked in the justice system, and so you know the value of being pardoned from a guilty plea. Conviction.
Yeah.
Knowing you was convicted, but we have been received pardon. Can you explain pardon a little bit?
Well, there's people, well, it depends. Like sometimes, the judge can say there's insufficient evidence to hold a trial,
mm-hmm.
to continue forth, which I would be acquitted, being acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a trial one time. It was very intense. I saw a trial, it was a long cause. And a young African-American guy was 21 and he killed a Hispanic 21-year-old, and the courtroom was full. And what happened was, it was over a girl, because the girl was fooling around with the guy, the African American boy, and her boyfriend went after and pursued him. But just to hear the testimony, and this boy, he was already in county for a whole year, and his family, like I think his parents or his mom was like a dean at a university, like he was from a very
well-to-do
family. And I saw his parents were there every day, and they would talk to me about the trial. And I remember at the end, and I felt bad for this boy because he made a bad decision. He was fooling around with this girl that he knew she had a boyfriend. So in the heat of the moment, when you listen to the testimony, this guy was so angry. It was 3 a.m, he pursued him across, and the guy's tire blew out. And he thought this guy, because I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. And so in the testimony, he talks about how the Hispanic guy was getting in his pocket, and the African-American boy, he thought he was going to like take out a gun or something and kill him. So I don't know what he took out of his pocket, but whatever he took out, he stabbed him and he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
self-defense,
but you could see, and so the jurors came back hung, okay? Mm-hmm. And this was a trial, this went on for a long time because it's a long cause.
Wow.
And the judge took the case from them and he acquitted him. And the prosecutor was so upset. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the judge had that
authority.
Because you have a jury trial and you have a court trial. And a jury trial is when the jurors decide the facts.
What, right.
And the court trial is when the judge decides the facts. And it was a jury trial. But because the jurors were hung, and the judge heard the trial, he was able to come in. He gave a long, you know, statement as to why he was doing what he did, and all of that. He was obviously a very confident judge, and he acquitted him. And everybody was like, and I was like, that's awesome, you know, because I myself felt so bad.
So you saw, you've You saw what God could do.
I knew that this boy, he was really sorry. I knew that he was sorry, and his family was so supportive and everything. But I knew he made a bad choice. But he was fooling around with the girl, and he probably never knew it was going to go as far as it went.
Yeah. And so the beauty of it is that she saw how God can operate, how God has operated concerning us. She saw it happen in the land of the living where someone was pardoned from what they should have lived out the conviction of. But because Jesus laid down his life, we have been pardoned. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We don't need to confess sins of the past all over again. We don't need to fear that God will reject us if we don't forgive our, if we don't get our slate perfectly clean. Of course, we should continue to confess our sins, but not because failure to do so will make us lose our salvation. Our relationship with Christ is secure. Instead, we should confess so that we can enjoy maximum fellowship and joy with Him. True confession also involves a commitment not to continue in sin. Do y'all hear this? Young ones, little ones, Lisa ain't listening. True confession also involves a commitment not to continue in sin. We wouldn't be genuinely confessing our sin to God if we plan to commit them again and just wanted temporary forgiveness. We should also pray for strength to defeat temptation the next time we face it. You hear that? God, all we got to do is ask for the strength to defeat temptation. Temptation's gonna come. But we need the strength to defeat him. If God had forgiven us for sins because of Christ's death, why must we confess our sins? In admitting our sins and receiving Christ's cleansing, we are agreeing with God that our sins truly is sin and that we are willing to turn from it. Two, ensuring that we don't conceal our sin from him. And you know, you remember Adam when they bit of the fruit and then Adam went and covered himself, hiding from God. I remember how it feels when I'm in sin and I don't wanna stop and I know it's wrong. But it's almost like you're acting like it ain't even there. You're acting like it's not even happening. And I remember how that felt. And that's trying to conceal my sin, trying to make it like it ain't. I'm trying to make wrong good, right, and right wrong. So I remember how that feels. So again, too, ensuring that we don't conceal our sins from him, and consequently from ourselves. Three, recognizing our tendency to sin and relying on his power to overcome it. You know, I think I was talking about this last week. We have to recognize and know that we are less than. We cannot do nothing without him. We cannot do nothing. If we don't have his grace to accomplish a task, we won't have the victory. So we have to recognize it is but by his grace that we are able to accomplish the things that we are accomplishing. It's not by us. It's not by us. It's by his grace. And so giving him the glory, y'all, he gives us even more grace to do more things, especially when we, you know, have you ever... have your child or a child or someone kept doing things that just really pleased you and you like, you wanted to bless them, you wanted to give them more? That's God. He wants to open up his hand to us And I like pleasing God because I like the blessings. I like the things that I get from Him. I like being in His presence. Because even just sitting in His presence, boy, you come up out of His presence, you feel so good. That's worth everything.
Amen.
When sitting in His presence like that. And I'm still reminded of the time when you had went home and I guess you got yourself situated, and then you went in the room and you said, okay, God, here I am. And I'm reminded of how she would do that. Mm-hmm. And, okay, talk to me. Okay, you know. And that he just continues to pour out to us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's it. Wow, I didn't even get to say conclusion. Well, lastly, that was it, lastly. But praise God. So again, remember, do not allow the enemy to continue to throw the dart of guilt. Mm-mm. Don't allow him to do that. When you have repented of it and you have given it to God, it is done. And that's it.
Amen.
And even when tomorrow you go about and the enemy try to bring something up, nope, I ain't taking it. No. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, that you are a merciful and sovereign God. I thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Jesus, you know where we can get into. But you still took all, you did it, you did it, you did it. You took all of our sin upon you over 2,000 years ago. And you knew we would be in this place today. So we thank you, Jesus. Now we give to you those sins that we know we sin. And we make a righteous choice, a just choice to not go back. In the name of Jesus. Now we give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Father. This word is not just intended to just be in the air. Thank you that you are doing a cleanup work in our hearts. Hallelujah. So I ask that you seal this word by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
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 Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.